Welcome to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. Let's get today's show started with your host and founder of the BD Academy, Rob Brown.
And welcome to the show, and I'm thrilled to have with me today Keith Rozelle. Hello, sir.
Hello, Rob.
Great to have you with us, Keith. Just tell the audience a bit about your background and your special areas of interest, Keith.
Thank you very much for that. Well, first of all, I've worked in sales, not often a respected subject matter, but I've done some really cool things over my career across a wide range of industries, and professional services and accounting services is one of them. And I've learned how to articulate difference, or rather how difficult it is to articulate difference in that kind of arena. And that's the context in which I'm coming onto your show.
Oh, it's great to have you, Keith. And we're going to talk a little bit about the value proposition. It's misunderstood. It's a real area of interest and passion for you. So we'll come on to that. But from your perspective, you talk to SMEs and all kinds of different businesses. What kind of shape do you feel the accounting profession is in right now? What do they do well? What are they not doing well?
Well, they count numbers really well.
Right.
That's really good, because that actually is job one. But where I find them seeking help is in differentiating their offer from that of their competitors. And it's no secret that the big four kind of dominate, really. It's only two-thirds of the overall market. So same four suspects are competing for really big deals with the FTSE 100. How do they differentiate and articulate their offer compared to the three other usual suspects that are in that deal? Or indeed, if you're an SME accounting firm, as there are lots here in Birmingham, how do you articulate your difference compared to your competitor? That's a really important conversation to be having.
Yeah, so the value proposition, how did you first get interested in that?
Okay, so I won a pretty big deal worth about $1.3 billion a couple of years ago, highlighted in the Sunday Times. And there were 18 other bidders for that contract, some of which were the big four, actually, where they all wanted a piece of that pie. And I discovered something called the Zeman Pyramid, Z-Y-M-A-N, for anyone who wants to Google that. And that actually takes you through a sort of prioritized set of criteria for your company. So number one is me too. There were 19 people, 18 plus me, that said, we do technology outsourcing, software outsourcing, we can do that. And then you go up the pyramid in terms of, okay, well, what does the client actually want? What is it that's going to win this deal? So you get into what's called the point of difference. And the point of difference is going to be slightly different, slightly nuanced in every single deal. In that case, with Vodafone, it narrowed us down to six. So there are 13 other eliminated from that process. And then you get down to the point of preference. What does the client really want culturally? How's this going to work? How are we going to fit in with them? We don't want them to fit in with us as the provider. We want to fit in with them. That requires a little bit of flexibility on our part, and some real insight and listening skills to really discern why they're going to go from six in this particular scenario to two.
Yeah.
And then the strategy was split the deal down the middle, and we won alongside another big technology outsourcer at the time. So overall deal, $3 billion. We collected 1.3 of that. Fantastic.
So it sounds like a huge deal, Keith, and obviously that alerted you to the possibility that a value proposition is quite an important thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So the journey of discovery was really how difficult everyone finds this to articulate their points in a succinct and clear fashion, so that the person, the party, the other side of the table, your target client market, understands completely why you're different and you're preferable to that of your competition. So there needs to be what in sales we call a poke in the eye.
Yeah.
And that's the difference that working with your company versus someone else's is going to make for them in their world.
And what happens, Keith, if companies don't differentiate themselves?
Yeah, and this happens all the time, is that you get me too. The pragmatic answer to that question, it comes down to one factor, price. If you can't discern, articulate clearly your difference, your expertise, whatever it happens to be, the only decision the client can make is how much are you versus how much are your competition. It'll come down to price. Price and trust. And trust is something that you build up over time, but it'll generally be price. And that's a bad thing for the industry, bad thing for client service quality as well.
I wrote a book on reputation because I was always fascinated by why some people, some companies got chosen and some didn't. And it's not necessarily being the best at what you do, is it, Keith? It's being able to market and articulate that.
Yeah, absolutely. I've worked with companies companies that on paper had no real right to win particular deals when they're up against monster competitions such as IBM or some of the big four. But the fact that you were able to articulate something really, really key that the client wanted to buy, and you had a reputation could be trusted in that space, that's the real key differentiator. And it's the one thing that will help you win business versus your competition.
Yeah. So why is it so hard to differentiate, articulate those points of difference, particularly for accountants?
Well, there's nothing to see, feel, or touch. It's not like your iPhone or that computer that you're sat in front of. It's really, really intangible, but not in the accounting sense of intangible necessarily. So it's very, very difficult to really describe. There's nothing to feel. Added to the fact that most firms point one of their senior execs to be responsible for business development, often with no formal sales training or support. So they rely on their business acumen, which is fantastic, and their charm or being a good listener. That really, really helps. But it's not nearly enough to be a key driver for growth, such as articulating a difference, but also a what's called a pursuit strategy to win that client. You've got to find a form of words which are going to differentiate your value proposition from your competitor's value proposition. And that takes weeks and months to really come out with a differentiated value proposition. And then every deal that you're working, every piece of business that you're looking to win, your value proposition is going to be subtly different to deal A versus deal B, because client dynamics, what they want to buy, is different. What you're pitching has to be different too.
But the problem, Keith, for accountants is that surely they're all selling the same thing. There's an element of compliance, isn't there? The regulatory stuff, the legal stuff that has to be done. That's hard to differentiate because firms do pretty much the same thing. There's some advisory stuff and maybe services that they can differentiate, but it must be difficult for accountants.
Yeah. It must be, because as you say, all of those things are all expected. In fact, they're mandated within the profession, and you have several bodies that are overseeing and governing that area of industry. So how does one maneuver within the confines of those regulations to come to that value proposition? And ultimately, it is going to come down to, do you trust the people? Do they have the relevant experience? And it might be a sectorial thing. If you're in aviation, for instance, got its whole own regulatory governance framework in there. If you have an expertise in that particular sector, or financial services, another very heavily regulated sector, then again, that's part of building your differentiated proposition.
So what exactly is a value proposition?
A value proposition, purely and simply, is who you are, what you do, how you make money, the benefits you deliver your clients, two case studies, relevant case studies, and a call to action. That's a value proposition. And I discovered it through moving to Birmingham and having to build up my own profile in a brand new city and going to something called speed networking, which some of your clients may already have done. Mm. And I'll tell you what I found. And it doesn't matter how big or small your firm, this is generally true. Someone sits down in front of you, they get 60 seconds to give you their pitch, and they'll tell you their name and their company, which is fine. They'll tell you the god-awful journey they had on the A38 coming into town. They'll tell you how many children they got, da-da-da-da-da. All of it, most of it, is irrelevant. Only the certain nuggets are absolutely relevant, which is how your business but could benefit their business. Do you have relevant case studies, relevant experience, particularly if you're in the big four? They want to know that you really know your stuff in that sector. And what's the call to action? How do we take this conversation forward? In a nutshell, that is the value proposition.
But can you get all of that in say, 60 seconds? It seems like a lot of information to convey there.
Well, you can, actually. And I would call it stripping out excess baggage. That experience that I talked about with people telling about awful journey, da 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 da, that's all irrelevant to that conversation. So the idea of getting it into 60 seconds is so that it's all meaningful. Every single word, 140 words a minute we talk at, every single word has some meaning, some context, some relevance to the person the other side of the table. And it's not just useful for speed networking. Once you've got that usable content, it can be reused for all your sales and business development activities on your website, your social media, the corporate alignment that we all crave in this world, about being lined up around our sales messages, our client messages. It's the gold dust that all the big companies out there crave, is what can you latch onto? Mm.
It's not just something that's said, it's also read. So you can say it at a networking event or a conference person to person, but it's also something you can put on a website and in a written format, correct?
Absolutely correct. Because your website really is your 24/7 shop window, and it needs to articulate and be aligned with the messages that your people you're giving out to their clients. It needs to support and align correct.
So ultimately, what does winning your business come down to for an accounting firm, Keith?
It comes down to trust, which is many, many strands built up in that, which is experience, reputation, all of those things, and price. And the whole price thing is really, really important, because if you're in procurement and you're looking to procure services and you know what your benchmark is going to be for these services, if someone comes in a little bit too high, that's probably okay. A little bit too low, that's probably okay too. But if you can't discern any difference between expertise, relevance, reputation, if there's no discernible difference, then your price, that's the procurement person's delight, because he's going to be able to drive the price down really low, get a great deal for his company. He'll get lots of brownie points and career opportunities out of that.
Yeah.
But bad for the accounting services provider. It means lower margins, service quality degradation, maybe, and maybe even job.
Yeah. Just to clarify, you mentioned there that part of the value proposition is price, but surely in the value proposition, it should make price irrelevant.
Well, price is never irrelevant. It is just one of those markers that needs to pass what I would call the smell test when being approved by the board, as these kinds of deals most often are. The price is always relevant. That aside, do we trust these people? It's going to be around your specific messages, around experience, around reputation in that sector, mapped onto the client's need. What do they want to buy? Because that's really important as well. So the benefits need to resonate with their need.
So value proposition doesn't make price irrelevant, but it makes it less relevant, and you're more able to charge premium if you can stand out in other ways.
Exactly. It mitigates the risk.
Yeah.
It all coming down to price.
So in terms of a value proposition, it can be different lengths. So suppose if somebody asks you what you do, you need something like a soundbite in 10 seconds, and you might need something that you would say over a lunch. Are there different lengths of a value proposition?
That's a really good point, actually. So we've often heard about this thing called elevator pitch.
Yeah.
And when I first started out in sales a long time ago, an elevator pitch was considered to be between 30 and 60 seconds.
Right.
Now, the chances are, Rob, if ever you're in an elevator for 30 or 60 seconds, probably broken or it's a really tall building.
Right.
But these days, we're in an attention deficient operating context. So an elevator pitch these days is 8 to 10 seconds. And given we speak 140 words a minute, that's between 20 and 25 words is your elevator pitch. And that needs to equate what you offer. And it's just a conversation starter. The elevator pitch was really constructed out of meeting a CEO unexpectedly in an elevator. What do you do for our firm, he asks, or she asks. Hmm. And we do this, and that's your elevator pitch. That's really important. But also when you go into networking functions, that's probably your opener. If you're looking to break into a circle at a networking function, which is not easy to do, you probably need to give 16, 25 words on this is what we do. And it just helps people say, okay, that's great. Come on, join us.
Yes. And the worst thing to say, presumably, is I'm an accountant.
I'll tell you what, try telling them you're in sales.
Well, yeah.
On a serious point, if I may, Rob, when I worked in New York selling technology to the investment banks, I could be at a networking function as a salesperson and be alongside a lawyer and an accountant. And they would accept me as being at their status, if you like. In the UK, sales is not a highly respected profession.
No.
Because we've all seen PPI scandals, we've seen rate rigging, we've been on the mercy of a double glazing salesperson, maybe with their aggressive sales tactics. We're all kind of, so part of my other strand, if you like, of work is really elevating sales to a professional level where it becomes as respected as being one of your accounting sort of audience, if you like.
But that's part of the problem, isn't it? For accountants, sales is a dirty word. It's not part of their professional qualification. They didn't come into accounting to have to sell anything.
You're absolutely right. And so when I meet accountants at various functions, they will often appoint someone in their organization to do the business development. Oh, you can do that. And that'll be an add-on to your overall responsibilities. And yet there's generally no formal sales training given to that person. So it's a little unfair, and it's not surprising that when they get into some sort of difficulty or they're losing too many deals. Sales is really important. And just as you train for a long time to become an accountant, we should train for a long time to become salespeople. And it's interesting to see one or two leading universities, Aston Business School being one of them, starting to bake in sales as part of their MBA module. I'm really pleased. There's a long way to go yet, but I'm really pleased to see progress in that area.
So in your view, Keith, in a professional services firm, who should be doing the selling and the business development? Who should be winning the business?
Well, actually, I come from a culture where everyone is in sales.
Yes.
Now, that might be a difficult message to hear if you're an accounting fee-earning partner, but everyone is in sales. You'll find if your company is lined up, we are experts in this, and you can articulate those messages, particularly for client-facing staff, which aren't always at the partner level. So it's a cultural thing where you're promoting your relationships, your ability to work with clients. You should be really prideful of that. So everyone, I believe, is in sales or at least supporting sales.
Yeah. So what would you say to clients out there that are buying accounting services who simply come back with, well, accounting's like banking. A bank is a bank is a bank. An accountant is accountant is accountant. It's almost a commodity, isn't it?
And then when you're not looking and least expect it, you end up in the headlines for exactly the wrong reasons. So are accountants just accountants? Are they all the same? No. This is around managing risk on your balance sheet, and it's the crown jewels of your organization.
We know that accountants are differentiated, but they do such a poor job of putting their value proposition across and differentiating themselves that often clients think that one accountant is much the same as another.
Well, that's why they need to work on their value proposition. Because we want to make it simple for clients to buy, and therefore putting the effort into their value proposition and really crystallizing that message makes it easier, A, to distinguish your value proposition versus your competitor's value proposition, and makes it easier for the customer, for the client, to say, okay, well, we like ABC company. We're going to use them because of reasons D, E, F. It's much clearer. Make it easy for the client to buy.
How much is values part of this? When you look at websites for accounting firms, they say these are our values, these are our core principles. Are they part of a value proposition? Would a client buy because of that?
Well, I think this is something that's so easy to say and so hard to practice. Mm. It's only by working with a firm over a period of time where you can really say they live up to their values. I think the absence of headlines, of being in the headlines for the wrong reasons, probably counts towards that. After all, reputation takes a lifetime to build and 5 minutes to destroy. Mm. Look at various interviews over the last 72 hours. You can see that's the case. So values, do you live them? And how does a client get to understand that? And it's only by working with your respective accounting service partner over a period of time that you're going to be able to tick that box. Yes, they really live these values.
But the problem with that is that if accountants say that our values are integrity, professionalism, honesty, client service, pretty much every accounting firm would claim that, wouldn't they?
I'd be very concerned if someone didn't claim that, because I mean, that's just the starting point.
Yeah.
You would hope you're dealing with an accounting partner that does have all of those things, but that is the bottom of the pyramid. That's the me too. That's the table stakes. What else have you got in your arsenal? You know, sell yourself to me, the client. And this is really, really hard. It takes people who really know their company inside out to get to a baked value proposition, if you like. In fact, it's never really baked. It's 80-20. Yeah. You can get it 80% right, and then you vary the last 20% in accordance with your audience, your target market, or a particular deal that you're working on. But the core essence of your value proposition will remain the same.
Okay. Well, Keith, if people want to find out more about what you're doing and dip into value propositions a bit more, what's a good way for them to reach you?
Well, I'm pretty active on LinkedIn. So you can find me under Keith Frozell or Sales Marvel. And I've just started a YouTube channel where there's loads of free stuff where you can learn about closing deals, creating deals out of thin air, or just real practical stuff. And you can sign up for my free sales tips webinars at www.salesmarvel.co.uk.
Super. And leave us, would you, Keith, with some words of advice for people that want to differentiate themselves a little bit better in this accounting, finance, technology world? Because we know that it's difficult. We know that it's important they don't sound the same as everyone everyone else. So how can they start to dip their toes into being a little bit more different?
Yeah, well, you'd be very welcome, if I may say so, to come and join one of my workshops in central Birmingham, where I'll show you exactly how to do that just now, or attend one of my webinars. But at the end of the day, to summarize, who you are, what you do, your top three benefits that you deliver to your clients, two case studies where you're contextualizing, we did this for this client and it had the following benefits, and a clear call to action. Contact me for more details, or contact me to tell me about your company and your needs. That's the way to take it to market.
Well, Keith Rozelle, that's been super. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me on the show, Rob.
You've been listening to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. For show notes on today's and other episodes, plus some great blogs and resources to help accountants lead, sell, and perform at the highest levels, go to bdacademy.pro. Until next time, have a fantastic day.